You're listening to the City World Radio Network. High-definition digital radio broadcasting from the city to the world. www.cityworldradio.com.
Hello, New York. Hello, world. It's time to listen to the man in the know, the man in the flow, AC Low. Interesting guest, music and news, and just about everybody's views. Now, live from New York, it's the AC Low Show over the City World Radio Network.
Hello, listeners. This is Bill Russo, and I am going to introduce to you the man, the music man, the talk man, the entertainment man, Anthony LoFazzo on CityWorldRadio.com. Thank you so much for listening. Anthony LoFazzo is an incredible, incredible broadcaster. He loves his listeners, from doo-wop to jazz to pop to rap to world music. Talk about history. Talk about mystery. Talk about arts. Talk about entertainment. He loves his listeners and his guests. Ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable Anthony LoFazzo.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you very, very much for that wonderful, wonderful introduction. I want to just say at the outset, I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. So my good friend Bill Russo, who's also producing this program, when he sees me falter, he'll jump right in there so we don't have dead air. Because dead air is a negative on the radio. We've had an interesting week with a lot of horrible weather, and right now in New York City it feels like about 5 degrees, and the wind is out of the northwest at like 100 miles an hour, no matter what corner you turn, it seems pretty cold. How'd you get here, Bill? You have any trouble traveling?
Well, I drove in from New Jersey through Staten Island to Brooklyn, right here to the studio at 352 7th Avenue in Manhattan, the City World Radio studio, and it was okay. It was okay. The city did a great job on the streets. It's a little icy in parking areas, but it's fine. It's a beautiful, beautiful day here in New York City. The 24-hour city, there's always things to do here in New York City. So the weather has been, it's been a cold winter. You know, we used to have global warming. I don't know what happened to global warming. I think global warming froze over. Now we call it climate change. And depends on where you are, you either view it as a good change or a not so good change, but you know, there are
I have a change like say 80 degrees with a 5 mile an hour breeze from the south and southwest. Maybe that would be better for us.
Well, we're making our way back to spring.
Well, how many more weeks before spring?
Well, I think we have like 2 months before spring,
and we can't count on the groundhog whatsoever, isn't that right?
Well, I think the groundhog hopped the train to Florida.
Where do you think they go when they go south?
Groundhogs?
Where do you think they go when they go south, yeah? The groundhogs. Where do they think they go?
Well, I don't think they go to Texas because that's a gun-carrying state. They might go to Atlanta, Georgia. How's that?
Yeah, that's just as well. So we have a wonderful lineup tonight of guests. Again, like we always do here on either the Bill Russo Show or the AC Low Show, we have people that are in every kind of venue, in entertainment, in music, in business, in science, in art, in medicine, in law enforcement, in criminal activity once in a while, on the nice side of criminal activity. And tonight is no exception. We have our good friend who has been with us many, many, many times, going back to a time when we were first broadcasting early on at 23rd Street, and then later on at Giovanna's at 100th Street and Lexington Avenue, and then after that at Umberto's down in Little Italy, and then after that we went back to 23rd Street, and she followed us there. We like her, and she likes us, and she always, always has an interesting group of people and a lot of important stuff to talk about. And I'm talking about none other than the inimitable and very, very special indeed. And very lovely, I might add. Very lovely. Does the elderly good. That's me. I'm the elderly, by the way. Does the elderly good. It, you know, gets the blood pumping. My friend, Stephanie Wilson. How are you, Stephanie? It's wonderful to have you here on the AC Low Show.
Oh, it's so nice to return to my old home. So nice to see my friends. Always a pleasure.
You were first, the first time I saw you was at 23rd Street. You were on the Bill Russo show. And I had come to see Bill about working together on the radio. And I saw you come out of the studio, and I said, that's the job for me. You're responsible for the AC Lowe show.
Get out of here.
I saw you come out. I said, oh, if I can interview women like that, that's the job I want. Absolutely and positively. What do you think, Bill? Do you remember those days at 23rd Street the first time around?
I take the fifth.
You don't remember being
a I remember. Well, you know, on the Bill Russo show, we have an incredible lineup of guests. And as we like to say on the Bill Russo show, everyone's a star when they come on the program. And everyone, in fact, is a star. Everyone is made uniquely. God created everyone differently. God created stars in everyone. So that's what we do here at City World Radio, where we bring on the stars. And you're correct. You identified Stephanie Wilson as a star. She's got a lot of sparkle to that star because she is an actor, a writer, a playwright, a director. She's a set designer. She's a costume designer. She's a shopper on eBay for vintage clothing and material for her plays that she does, whether it's shot glasses or eyeglasses. She puts it all together, and we've attended a number of plays, Anthony, which Stephanie Wilson has done all those aforementioned roles and put together some great plays. And that's what we like to do here on cityworldradio.com, is bring to our listeners, to you. You are stars out there, too. And we'd like you to come on the program yourselves and shine for us.
So, Stephanie, I know that you have many projects going on. Why don't you tell us about some? We went and saw one of your projects only recently, a couple of nights ago, if I remember. Let's talk about that a little bit first.
Okay. What you saw on Tuesday was the last installment of a trilogy that I wrote called Women You Thought You Knew, and that particular story was titled Wild Child. Women You Thought You Knew is about a society's so-called bad girls, and it basically tells their story to better understand them and also sheds light on how women are judged differently in our society. And so I wanted to kind of de-demonize bad girls and share their story.
Wasn't there, what are the three titles again? Let's go over those again, the three titles.
Play number one is The Grinder, and that's about a aging stripper, a stripper past her prime, who can't let go of her gig even though her knees are aching because she's obsessed with survival due to abandonment issues as a child.
You know, you always handle, what I admire is that you always handle kind of head on some very difficult issues, and that's just one example of the difficulty of the various issues that are involved in what you do. And so you work on these things, and a lot of people would never be willing to approach these kinds of problems, and you always do that.
Well, so my goal is, like, theater is political, and, you know, the Greeks, their theater, it was all about politics and dealing with social issues. So all my plays deal with social issues and also try to provide a little known history and things like that. So I bring theater back to the ancient, like the ancients did. It was all about politics. And socially conscious are my works.
Now, The Grinder, I believe that you had someone that we know near and dear to our heart. He had a role in your last, the last time you had that show. Bill Russo played a club owner.
Yes, named Lou.
We got a problem over here.
And it was Bill Russo's stage debut, and he will hopefully be in the full production of that as well.
Yeah, well, I think he did a very credible job. Now, you have a couple of people here in the audience. I'd like to introduce them one at a time. We'll talk with one, and then we'll talk with another, and so on. So why don't you introduce one, and then we'll see who we speak to after that.
Okay, oh, and let me just finish. The second play is Silk Stockings and the Bible.
Now, that one I'm not familiar with at all. Let's talk about that one a little bit.
Silk Stockings and a Bible is set during the swing era. during World War II. And Stacy, who just walked in, he played the sailor. So he's been in a couple of my productions. But Stacy Griffin, who just walked in, he played the sailor. It's about a chorus girl. She's a former Cotton Club girl. And through the trials and tribulations of her life, she finds herself, as she got older, she became a church lady. So she finds herself wondering, does she regret her glamorous, spicy past, or does she regret the austere present?
Again, another very, very interesting concept. And then the one that we saw...
Wild Child is about a Chinese-American free spirit party animal set during the disco era, and she's undermined and disrespected by family and friends, but she's actually a Renaissance woman, and people don't really know that. And she meets a shell-shocked Vietnam vet, and basically these two people find each other, and things happen.
Again, my hat is off to you. I know you do, you're like a one-man band here. You write it, you conceive it, you write it, you put it together, you produce it, you find the actors, and you make it all come out right. And that's really very, very admirable. And you're to be complimented.
And what you saw were workshop productions.
Yes.
So they were just kind of like tryouts to see what changes need to be made, you know, on every level. And
that's the theater.
They will be in a full production running in the same run, which is going to be historical, because trilogies usually are separate stories that they run like years apart.
Yeah.
But I wrote these three stories at the same time.
And you intend to present them that way shortly?
Right, in the same run. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Four shows each, yeah.
Why don't you introduce us to one of your actresses who we saw just the other evening?
Right, so Tina Moore. This was her stage debut as well.
Yeah, we were really surprised to hear that. She did it. She was very, very good.
She's going to be in the film A Wound in Time, which is the film adaptation of my off-Broadway and off-off-Broadway play, which is the first project that, when I met you guys, that's the first project that I was working on.
You were working on A Wound in Time, and Blood Makes the River
Flow. A Red River Flow.
Run.
Oh, right. I forgot. Yeah.
Blood Makes the River
Flow. So
run,
Tina
run.
Moore was cast.
See, we pay attention.
Tina Moore was cast to be play the Afro-Cuban busybody mother in the film version of A Wound in Time. And I approached her about being on stage and doing this play, and she was mortified, but I felt that she could do it, and she really
She did a bang-up job.
Yeah.
And the audience liked her very much.
And then we have Jan, I never had to say her last name, but Ms.
Well,
Tsushima.
Well, before you introduce her, let's talk with Tina a little bit.
Okay.
Tina, get up close on the mic, because these mics, they're not omnidirectional. They're singularly directional. And we want to talk to you a little bit. How did you prepare to be on the stage when the film was normally your element?
Well, it took a lot of studying and memorizing, something that I thought I couldn't do, but I pull it off.
And how did you study?
Every day.
Every day?
Yeah, every day. I just try to read and just memorize as much as I could.
You know, you did what a lot of people do. And when you go to acting classes, they tell you don't do that. But I find even people that became very successful, that's exactly what they did. They memorized their lines and gave it their best shot in front of the director and got the job. None other than George C. Scott. I heard him say that. He memorized all his lines, even though he was told, don't do that. And when he went up, he was the only one prepared at the audition, and he got the job. So that's how he started. That's a long, long time ago. So you feel comfortable?
I'm getting there, but I've never been to an acting class, so this was unnatural.
Well, you know what Robert De Niro says, don't let me catch you acting. So, you know, we all have to think about that. And I think you did a very fine job. And
the lovely Jan Miss Tsushima, who is also a producer, and she played Aunt Carol in Wild Child, and the sister of the Afro-Chinese Bohemian Aunt Muriel, which Tina played.
Yes, we saw her the other night. Hi,
yes.
How are you? Welcome to
Hi.
The AC Low Show. And so how long are you doing these kinds of in the theater?
I've been doing theater for about over 10 years now.
So you're what we call a veteran.
She's what we call a shining star on City World Radio.
That's absolutely right. And did you train, or you went like Tina, just went into acting and gave it your best attempt?
My training.
You had your training. Oh, yes. Okay. All right. That's good, too. It's very important to have training.
So Jen, tell us about your background and your training.
I went to the Neighborhood Playhouse and also studied at Susan Batson's studio. Another ongoing class. It's always constant study. Like Tina said, it's always practice every day.
So you've been on stage before and performed locally in New York City?
And also in Japan, Tokyo. I've produced. I produce.
Of course, in Japanese.
Yes.
So you've studied theater both in America, in English, and Japanese theater.
Yes.
Is there a difference between the two theaters in terms
of... Yes, tremendously. So I wanted to introduce American theater to Japan, so that's why I started producing in Japan.
What are some of the differences? Could you comment on that?
I think in Japan it's more of the technique rather than what's truth underneath what's going on in that moment. So they're very good at that. And
I'm sorry, could you say that again? In Japan was what?
It's more technical, I would say. Things are more technical. It's everything's perfect.
Yeah.
Rather than what's truthful in that moment, what's going on with you in that moment.
I see. And in American theater, technically imperfect, but more in the moment.
I think it's both.
Both.
Mm-hmm.
Both. I know that being in the moment for the actor is a very important. It's something that we work on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I act, but I don't consider myself an actor because I don't want. I want to stay inside indoors when it's cold. I don't want to live outside.
I went to the Ringo Starr School of Acting from his song.
Well, he was very successful.
They're going to put me in the movies, and all I have to do is act naturally. That was one of his songs, Act Naturally. So, Stephanie, hopefully, I'm lobbying to be in one of Stephanie's films.
Well, you have a lot of potential.
Oh, I love that.
I think so too.
Yeah, potential. That's a good word.
When you do producing, is producing a project in Japan the same thing like producing a project here? Is it different in any way?
The process is different. I would have to prepare like 1 year in advance.
A year in advance?
Mm-hmm.
In any venue?
Yes, because it's already booked like a year in advance, and even the actors.
Ah, so nobody's taking any chances. They have good preparation. We do a lot of things here on the fly here in America. I mean, people put it together, and sometimes and shows and programs. And I guess both ways are really good, and both ways are important, and both ways are valuable. I'm gonna ask C to cue up. Why don't we go with number five? Number five, see, why don't we put number five up there for now? This is a little bit of my own project. There's a couple of young women that were known as the Chiffons here in New York City, and they made about umpteen songs about the same guy, and they couldn't make up their mind. One day he's a sweet-talking guy, and next time they have a boyfriend other than him.
Is that guy you,
Anthony? Oh, I wish it was, but I don't think so. I don't think so. Why don't we hit it? Number five, see, Sweet-Talking Guy by the Chiffons.
He's so fine. Wish he were mine. That handsome boy was there. One with the wavy hair. I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna make him mine. He's an enviable girl. It's just a matter of time. He's a soft-spoken guy.
Yeah, Sweet Talking Guy by the Chiffons. And we're going to talk a little bit more about their records. We have a lot of groups like that. My good friend Arlene Smith of the Chantels, who in my mind, is the number one premier girl group from that doo-wop era. She was the lead. When it was her turn, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, she knocked it out, had about 10 hits, about the same man who happened to be about 18 when she was 15. And that was her dream.
Is that illegal?
Only in one direction. Think about that. It's a good line. I'm not going to take it out. It's an excellent line, and we have to go with that. All right, so we're back to talking with Stephanie Wilson, who is a multifaceted, multi-talented individual who we've had on our programs, both the Bill Russo Show and the A.C. Lowe Show, numerous occasions, because why? There's so much to talk about and so much that she does because of her many abilities. You are working now on the film version, you were saying, Stephanie.
Yes, I'm working now on the film version of my very first play, which I wrote in the 80s, called A Wound in Time. It's a supernatural mystery thriller. If you think of Goodfellas meets The Believers meets Carlito's Way, that's A Wound in Time, set in Spanish Harlem / Italian Harlem.
And I remember when you were talking about it, at the time we were in what used to be called Spanish Harlem. We were on 100th Street and Lexington Avenue at the old Giovanna restaurant, and you were talking about producing it at that time, you know, coming out with it. I think you were doing it, you did present it at the...
New Eurekan.
There you go.
In 2010, so whenever you were at Giovanna's. And then we went off Broadway in the midst of Hurricane Sandy, and... the off-Broadway production at St. Luke's, we had Stacy Griffin, who's here with us tonight. He played a role, Clinton Williams, a very interesting character. And he's also going to reprise that role in the film as well.
For our listeners out there, I just want to make sure that we have our geography correct. That's Harlem in New York City and not Harlem in the Netherlands. The spelling's a little different for the city of Harlem in the Netherlands. It's H-A-R-L-M-N.
Well, Harlem was originally known as New Harlem.
That's right.
It was originally called New Harlem, and somehow we dropped the word new. When the British
We know that Anthony has a worldwide listening, including the one listener in what island is that?
He's on Kisker Island in the Aleutians, and his name is Guile Hemway, and he's been listening to us from the very beginning. Now, I know there's not a lot to do in the Aleutian Islands, especially in the winter.
What's a Hemway?
about 3 ounces. But that's a really old joke.
I know.
That's even old for the A.C. Lowe Show. And what a segue, by the way, what a segue. Yeah, he's been listening to us from the very beginning when we began broadcasting. And as most of our audience knows, when Bill and I began this, we broadcast to nobody. That's how we started. We were broadcasting.
Thank you, nobody, for spreading the word.
Yeah, and one by one, well, we got them one audience at a time. And what's the plural of audience is audience. And gradually over time, we developed our audience. And it's very very gratifying to us because actually we started by this whole station started. No one knew about it. And we gradually, through marketing, advertising, and our own program, all of our programs, all the good programs that are here on City World Radio Network, we were able to get the audience that we have. So that's very, very satisfying to all of us. But I wanted to talk with Stacy. Come on up to the mic, Stacy. These microphones, we have to almost swallow them.
Oh, my God.
In order for us to... Well, it's not
We're sinking fast.
It's not an omnidirection microphone. That's what I meant. I know the other thing, too, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this. So, how did you come to meet Stephanie? I'm going to ask this in both directions. How did you come to meet Stephanie?
I met Stephanie, I believe it was 2010. We did a production of Julius Caesar at the New Eurekan Theater.
Yeah, right after my show ran, I auditioned for Julius. They were casting for Julius Caesar.
Oh, I remember that show.
I auditioned because, you know, my memory's not too good, and it was like 22 years before I was on since I was on the stage, so I was afraid about memorizing. So I asked Rome Neal. I said, if you give me a part with very few lines, I'll take it. Because I was worried, but, you know. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt.
And that was it. She played the witch doctor, soothsayer, I believe.
Topless.
Topless, right.
I wait to get into my 50s before I go topless.
And
well, you did very well.
In one direction.
So that's
Bill and I are eyewitnesses. I'm sorry, Stacey. Okay. Bill and I are eyewitnesses, and you did very well. Absolutely well. Very
it, was, it was definitely memorable.
Yeah, no question.
But I played Mark Anthony, and that was a great,
oh, he was
great, great experience. That was the second time I'd been in that play. I played a Trebonius in Cicero before in like 1994 in Chicago at the Black Ensemble Theater. And yes, I do have a website if you want to check me out. It's my name, www.stacygriffin.com, StaceyGriffin.com, www.stacygriffin.com, Stacey with an E, Griffin with an I. But that's how we met, and we've pretty much been, you know, working on and off since then for the past, I'd say, 5 years. That was a great experience, and it was a very, very, very talented, rich cast with dancing and drums, and it was set in, I believe it was 13th century Mali, so we had to do Shakespeare with African dialects.
Yes.
So it was very challenging. Not only were you working with an ancient language, but then you're acting, putting a dialect on it. So, you know, I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. You know, it was very, like, you know, you have to not only doing Shakespeare, but you're doing it with an African dialect. So it was double challenging, but people got it. They dug it. And, you know, it was a hit. I just wish it would have ran longer. But great relationships I still have from that play to this day. To meet Gay, Alex, Alex Flowers, that's his Facebook tag, but it's not
Dean Bowman.
Dean Bowman,
he's a musician. He's well known around the world. You know Dean?
Yeah.
Oh my God, he was in Julius Caesar's.
Yeah, Dean played Caesar. I had to lift his. He was heavy.
Body.
He's heavy. I'm like, that brother, he lost weight during the run because I had to lift him by myself. Screaming Headless Torsos. Yeah, he's a great jazz musician.
Yeah, he's Europe. He's all over the world, actually.
Yeah, he's nice.
Yeah.
So you've been acting more than 20 years. You've been involved with more than 20
years.
Oh,
yeah. My first paying role, I was 20. It was a play about South Africa. I was in college. I went to the Goodman School of Drama in Chicago. DePaul Theater School is what it's called now. And I was, you know, this summer I got the role and I played a South African, and I was part of a theater company in the Aurora Theater Ensemble with Philip Edward Van Leer. He was on the Chicago cop show with Delroy Lindo. He played his like right hand man.
Delroy Lindo, now you're talking heavy.
Yeah, he was one of my mentors.
Talking heavy.
Yeah, Alan Wilder from Steppenwolf was one of my mentors. These are all the people, Sheldon Patinkin, Mandy Patinkin's dad, I studied with in Chicago at Columbia College. And that's it. And then I came to New York. I did maybe 20 plays out there and a couple films. Then I came to New York 1999, Thanksgiving. I've been here 15 years officially. So am I a New Yorker technically at this point?
Absolutely.
Am I 15 years?
I'll adopt you.
All right, but
by the power vested in Anthony LoFazzo and Bill Russo, we now appoint you an official New Yorker.
There it is.
Yeah, you've been on the AC Lowe show and the Bill Russo
there
production.
It is.
So you got it. But what we like to say is that everyone who comes here becomes a New Yorker because they all come here pretty much for similar reasons. They come here to kind of go for what they're looking for, whether it be in business or art or entertainment or whatever they do. And that's what really makes New Yorkers. New Yorkers are so diverse. We never have a problem obtaining guests here on either the Bill Russo Show or the AC Lowe Show. There are just so many people that have so much good to do and so much good to show. So what's your next step in these projects now? You're going to move them forward, Stephanie, and...
Yes, I'm moving forward with my film. We're in pre-production. I have a cinematographer from Italy, and his name is Nicola Raggi. And I chose him because I don't want to just make a film. I want to make art. I want to create something that I grew up on, the classics, and as far as music and film and theater, and I want to create that. I feel like technology is a blessing, but it's also a curse, and I feel that because Everyone has access now to cameras and can call themselves filmmakers, that it's more about just recording a story as opposed to creating art. And the reason I chose this gentleman is because he is an artist. He cares about the lighting. He cares about creating, making it look beautiful and interesting, and as opposed to just filming and recording. So we hope to begin filming the end of March. I'm on a daily budget because I have no money really. So every time I get $1,500, that's when we'll film. I'm also going to give a fundraiser. Since the story set in 1993, I'm giving a fundraiser where people can win a chance to be in the film, have a speaking role, and the fundraiser will have a theme of the early 1990s with the music and dress. And that's coming up in April sometime. So we're going to be start filming day one. I want to give a shout out to Camaradas. It's on 115th and 1st Avenue. That's where we're going to be shooting the bar scene and a few other scenes there. And Orlando Plaza, I want to give him great thanks because he's letting us use his venue. And they have great food there. It's a wonderful bar. And so I just wanted to say thank you. And thank you for all who have supported me and continue to have faith in me. Little old Bronx girl trying to make it happen.
Now, talk about that fundraiser again, because we know that this business is driven. You need money.
Yes.
In any production, you need money, no matter, even if it's a small production, limited production. And you're waiting. When is your fundraiser going to happen?
I don't have a date yet, but I'm looking at April. There's a couple of DJs who I know have deep crates with old music from like the 80s and the 90s. There's one, I won't mention his name yet because he hasn't confirmed or given me an answer one way or another, but he's, you know, kind of a celebrity. But I'm going to, once I find a DJ, get a confirmation, I'm looking at a space, DCTV, if they have a date available. It's the Firehouse on Lafayette Street. Well, that's it's a film production.
Yeah. It used to be Engine Number 8 years ago.
So I'm thinking about giving it
Ghostbusters
there.
Ghostbusters was done from there.
Oh, okay.
They did Ghostbusters in that Firehouse.
So that's one of the places.
That's at Northmore and Lafayette.
And Stacy is also working on trying to find a venue. He's also going to be helping me with that. So if you buy a ticket for $25, your ticket stub will give you the opportunity to win a chance to be in the film. And also my the film's website or the film's blog, awoundintime.com. There's a button on the side to Fractured Atlas. That's a nonprofit arts organization. It's a national organization. They are my fiscal sponsor. If you donate money through them, you can get a tax deduction. And also, you would get a credit with special thanks on the big screen, and your name will appear. So if you go to awoundintime.com and look on the right side, and it says if you donate $25 or more, your name will be on the screen. And you can also have the option to just donate in general to all my little endeavors, $5 or more. So I'd appreciate whatever you can give and any support, and, you know, just spreading the word, because, of course, advertising and marketing costs money, which I don't really have. So just spread the word. That's just as valid.
Okay, all of you listening to this program right now, get your checkbook out. Get your nickels and dimes out. Get your paper money out, you know, and visit the website. Say that website again, please.
The name of the film and the play is A Wound in Time. The website, the blog, is awoundintime.com. awoundintime.com.
Thank you very, very much. And Bill and I are going to definitely contribute.
And announcement.
Dun, 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 dun,
Bill
dun,
Russo dun. And Anthony LaFaso will also be appearing in A Wound in Time, the film, the feature film.
I'm ordering my tuxedo for the red carpet right now.
Right now, boy. I want to get ready. I have to go home and get prepared. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to being part of your project and helping you and assisting you not only with these programs, but in any way we can in terms of raising any kind of money. I think it's very, very important. And occasionally on this program, we're known to have technical difficulties, but we seem to resolve them while we keep going. And in the interim, I'm going to ask you to play another one by the Chiffons. They're writing about the same poor guy who's just trying to be a man, you know. Let's go with, he's a sweet-talking guy, blah, 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 blah. All right, let's go with number seven. If you can cue that up for me, see. It's now they're saying that they have a boyfriend. They don't need this other guy anymore. You know, number seven, see. Kick it up. On the AC Low Show on the City World Radio Network. I didn't think I could do that because I've been fighting a cold, but I got my man Bill Russo here, and I know that when Bill's here, I don't have to worry. He steps in when I step out and vice versa. Bill, who do we have on the Bill Russo Show next week?
Well, Bill Russo will not be here next
week. Oh, my, yeah. No. Please say it's not so, yeah. Bill.
I'll be broadcasting the following week when I return next week. You will cover for me.
So we'll have another AC Low Show.
Right, I'll be in New Orleans.
And we'll write it into the record books.
Yeah. I just want to take a moment recognize the passing of a jazz great, Clark Terry. He's a trumpeter, and he was from a generation. He played with both the Count Basie Orchestra and the Duke Ellington
Orchestra. Played with both of them, and he has been
very,
a mainstay
very
here.
Rare to do, play with both. And when jazz started to kind of like fall off and live entertainment was not as popular and DJs came on the scene and a lot of house bands kind of disintegrated because DJs took the place of a lot of live music, he was one of the band members on the Johnny Carson Show and played trumpet for the Johnny Carson Show. So Clark Terry passed away a couple of days ago at 94 years old.
Yeah, a resident of Cambria Heights in Queens and that area.
Yeah.
And
he joined the Navy in 1942. He basically was penniless. He was poor and penniless and became one of the greatest jazz players. Quincy Jones recorded him. And later on in his career, he became actually like a professor of music, a teacher and trainer. A mentor to so many people, and he is featured in a documentary called Keep On Keeping On.
He was also a key player in both ways, playing the instrument and a player in organizing the Jazzmobile, which contributed,
I remember Jazzmobile.
Yeah, which contributed to New York City music just dramatically beginning in the 1960s. And
that's Clark Terry, ladies and gentlemen.
Clark Terry. Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for that information. We're talking with Stephanie Wilson, who has multiple projects going on, film and theater, and a group of fine actors, kind of what we call almost a repertory company. That's what I would call it. You have a repertory company, you're using them in different ways, and I want to talk with the actors a little bit. Tina, how do you feel about acting? Was always your thing, or are you just beginning to move into that now?
Well, acting was always my thing, but play was not. This is my first experience, and I'm glad that Stephanie gave me that chance, and I think I'll pursue it more.
All right.
So thank you, Stephanie.
Oh, thank you.
And when you prepare, before you go on stage, how do you feel? Before it's your turn to step out in front of the audience.
Well, I just try to relax and concentrate and just put myself into the character and bring it into stage.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, I can't wait to be out there because I feel less nervous when I'm out there than when I'm waiting to be out there. So get out there and be out there and be done with it. You know, it's just the way it is. Although I don't have your experience in the way you are, but Bill and I have been in. Well, I think people are just, they feel sorry for us and they're very kind and they let us into these roles that are in there. And I think it's a lot of fun. And I think it's one of the great advantages of being in New York City with so many fine actors and so many talented people. Bill, you said you're not going to have your show next week. Where are you going?
I will be in New Orleans for the week, and I'm looking forward to New Orleans. It has quite a musical history, the birthplace of jazz. Also, that jazz movement was influenced by a lot of Italian Americans, particularly Sicilians, who had settled in New Orleans and who brought their own music with them. Their own street music they used to play at weddings and funerals, etc. Kind of like a fusion between the Afro-Cuban origins of the use of brass and other and wind instruments and some Italian influence. And really, that the only true American music is jazz. The only true American music is jazz. Pop songs, etc., originated all over the world. Salsa, other beats of music, but jazz is truly rock and roll later on, but jazz, you could say, is a precursor in a way of rock and roll. And there's some incredible, I was just looking at history of music, there's an incredible legacy and family legacy in music, like the Pizzarelli family. Bucky Pizzarelli, guitarist, and his son John Pizzarelli is touring now, the Mangione family. And it's like that in all ethnicities and races. There are family members who pass it down. I was just watching the other night, there was a program called American Restoration, and it featured George Clinton. Some of you may know George Clinton as the father of funkadelic music. Mm. They, on that program where they restore antiques or beat up items that have some historical value, the goal was to restore a George Clinton piano. And American Restoration, they restored the piano. In return, George Clinton gave a free concert, and he had one of his sons was performing and other family members. It was amazing, and that's what I find so great about music, is the heritage and the passing of the baton, the mentoring, and also one other feature about particularly jazz and in other genres of music is the diversity. Black players with white players with Chinese ways with gay players with all sorts of music is music and transcends, and whatever you play, however you sing. We had on the Bill Russo show last week, we had a wonderful singer, a pop singer, Linda Gambino, who's
she was excellent.
She was born in Italy and she came to America as a child and learned to speak English well because her father worked for the Olivetti Corporation, one of the original companies to make typewriters, and now transformed into a business company. But she went back to Italy. She lives in Rome, speaks perfect English, and she's a pop singer in Italy. She sings mostly in English, but interjects some Italian words from time to time. And her website is lindagambinomusic.com. She has an appearance coming up at Left Field, which is at 87 Ludlow Street on March 5th at 7 p.m. So it's just representative of the world of music. It's like a universal language, but it's an also universal connector and unifier of people.
You know, we've had you said a mouthful when you talked about American music. Charles Dickens came to New York City in 1842, and he wrote extensively.
Were you there, Anthony?
Yes, and he wrote extensively in his diary about going to places in New York City. This is in 1842. Forget about talking about back in the day. We don't know anything. This is in 1842. He visited places in New York City where there were interracial bands playing music and men and women working together playing music. And what he referred to as hot music, his words, Dickens' words, hot music, and the people dancing and jumping around in 1842. Fast forward to 1900, you have ragtime in the South, and ragtime evolves into Dixieland. And then Dixieland becomes a little bit more punctuated, a little bit more stylized, and we evolve into swing music. And then swing music in the late 40s starts to evolve into what we call modern jazz or bebop, using Thelonious Monk and all the different players, Charlie Parker, the Birdman, Dizzy Gillespie, all these cats who changed and modified, started playing 17th notes and 19th notes between the two notes of the lyric, of the melody on time, which is just strictly American. All of this is American. And then when you started scatting, which is the use of nonsense lyrics in time or rhythm, and then this turns into doo-wop, where doo-wop began to use the same kind of thing, words like that. And then that evolves into rock and roll. And then you move on to funkadelic. So each one is a thread in the fabric of American music, a beautiful fabric of you want to say a comforter or like a wonderful blanket. But each thread, each one a piece. And American music, nothing like it anywhere in the world. And the shame of it is that they should really emphasize, when I say they, I mean the generic they, we should really be teaching American music in the schools and in the education system. It's wonderful. Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, we love them. We love them. And most of our guys, especially in bebop, knew all of that upside down and backwards and were classically trained for the most part. But American composers, people who make American music, and including right up to right now with rap and hip-hop. We've had a number of rap artists on this program, a number of hip-hop artists from Chicago, from Washington, D.C., from Philadelphia, from Boston and New York, Brooklyn. Yay, Brooklyn. And a lot of these young men and women have a lot to say. We may not agree with it, but they're talking about their impression of the street, not our impression from an old man like me, their impression, young people. And this is extremely valuable, and that's what these programs are about, to bring all of this forward. We digress because we're here with Stephanie Wilson on the
show. I just want to interject, Anthony, and say to our audience, our listeners, there are plenty of listeners out there and guests right here, myself too, are saying, that's my man, Anthony LoFazzo. That's the music man. As I said in my introduction, this is a man with great musical knowledge and history, and thank you for sharing that.
Well, we want to welcome. Well, you just touched that chord in me when you mentioned that. Thank you. When you mentioned that, and that's what it's all about. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. No. As you know, my late wife, Lorraine LoFazzo, was a performer, an entertainer, and a jazz singer here in New York City for many years. And unfortunately, we had some technical difficulty with the stuff I brought down here. But C is going to solve that by the time I get here next week. Going to solve that. I'm going to give him that thing, and he's going to convert it into something, and then into something, and into something, and into something. We're going to play this stuff next week, see? I know you out there, brother. I see you. Okay. Stephanie, I don't know what to say other than thank you and thank you and thank you for doing all the work that you do. Bill and I have the luxury. We come there on the night that you're going to present. We sit down, and we see the work, but we know it starts way back deep in your cerebellum, and it comes out, and you put it all together, and you write all these roles for the different people. You conceive of them and write them, and then you teach the actors how to do them, and they perform for you, and you assist them and direct them, and it's marvelous. It's just marvelous, and we love when you're on the program. We love to have you back again and again. We never get tired of that. Never get tired of that.
Does Jan, do you have a website?
Yes, please.
Yes, my website is Jan Mizushima, www.janmizushima.com.
www.janmusic, is that right? JM Music?
No, J-A-N.
J-A-N.
M-I-Z-U.
M-I-Z-U. J-A-M M-I-Z-U. Okay.
SHIMA.com.
Okay. All right. Very, very good. We've got that out there. That's what we want to do. We have a few minutes. Anything you want to say to wrap it up, Stephanie, for your end?
Well, I just want to give my my blog, well, both of them are blogs, are Wounded Time and wetprods.com. Now, I changed my production company was originally called Wilson Exclusive Talent Productions, but I have since amended it to be Wilson Exclusive Talent and Bronx Gorilla Productions, because I'm a Bronx girl and I use guerrilla tactics to get things done. So that's the name.
That's how get things get done. That's how things get done.
So WET like Tom, PRODS.com. And then you'll see pictures and videos of all my work, all my productions and upcoming news.
Can you give Bill, did you recopy that website? Could you give us that website one more time?
JanMitsushima.com. JanMitsushima.com. It's www. Got your pens, ladies and gentlemen?
Yep.
JanMiz as in zebra. USHIMA.com.
Thank you very, very much, Bill. See, I'm going to ask you to queue up one more. This is from my favorite, Arlene Smith. She wrote by herself at 15 years of age. She wrote at least 12 songs about the same guy. You know, I mean, what? I mean, you know, you listen to some of these titles. Every Night I Pray. That's one. And then Maybe. Mm-hmm. And He's Gone. You know, all these different. Why don't we play Maybe, which was a New York mainstay here in New York City by a good Bronx girl. She went to St. Anthony's, but yeah, go ahead, let it go. Number three. We got time. Number three. Hit the button.
Thank you.
singing maybe because you acted wrong when he was here. If you treated him nice when he was here, you wouldn't be into all of these songs like this, you know? It's a shame, Arlene. It's a shame. You're a very nice woman, and I'm sorry about all of that. You did a great, great job. I see by the shadow on the floor that we've run out of time again. We always run out of time on the Bill Russo Show and the A.C. Lowe Show because we always have terrific guests. Tonight was no exception. We had a lot of fun with our friend Stephanie Wilson, and she'll be back again. We can be sure of that. Don't forget to look at all these websites, as we indicated to you. Bill, anything on the wrap-up?
Well, I just want to thank our guests today. I want to thank C, the engineer. It's been easy to produce this program because everyone knows what they have to do, and they just go ahead and execute and do it with very little direction, and I'm very appreciative of that. I'm certainly appreciative of the listeners out there. We love you very much. We encourage you to tell your friends and family to tune in to cityworldradio.com and also to go to the website to listen to any of the past programs. Just find the date, and the guests will be listed also next to the date. So keep us going, because everyone is a star. This is not Good Morning America. This is not Good Night America. This is not the late show. This is the show of stars, because everyone is a star.
Remember that song? Everybody is a star.
Yes, we do.
It was a slice.
Yes, it was.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. I see it time for us to depart. This is A.C. Lowe from New York saying thank you and good night.
Bye.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
Hi, I'm Janice Ian. Do you remember how excited you were at the start of summer every year, and how the summer just started to drag on after a few months and you couldn't wait to get back to school, see your old friends, make new friends, get new books and a new locker and a clean slate? Well, you should have been excited about music class too, because that was a special room where you went to sing, perform with your friends, and learn all kinds of interesting stuff about great composers, instruments, different kinds of music and songs. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped to spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them, and make sure they get involved with music in school and in their lives.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.